Proverbs chapter 18 is where we will begin this morning. So Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 reads, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for this truth that you are a friend to us, Lord. We pray you would help us to understand this truth, help us to learn that we would follow in your image, Lord, and be a friend to those in need. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And with all of Proverbs, there's these verses that sometimes they just kind of stand by themselves, and they have little kernels of truth that we can glean from, that we can appreciate. And we see with this verse, it begins with something that we understand to be true. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If someone is going to have friends, they need to be friendly themselves. That often what we get out of our relationships is what we put into them. And it is something that we want to understand that ourselves. Then we see this phrase that it concludes with, "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And we see that it is something that we wonder who this is, that we realize it is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this throughout his time on earth. If you'd turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And beginning at verse 9. Matthew 9, verse 9, says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are, behold, need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what would that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were a self-righteous people, that they were considered themselves to be too holy to be near these sinners, these ones that were immoral and other things. And they question, well, how could Jesus associate with them? And we realize that for him to reach them, that he had to associate with them, that he had to spend time with them. And we see that the publicans and the sinners, they knew their need, they knew that they were sinners, and that's why they came to the Lord, because they knew that the Lord Jesus could help them. And that is why they came. And that's the whole understanding that we think, well, why would he be with the publicans and sinners? Why did he even come to this earth in the first place to be with us as sinful humanity? That really, if we took it to that sense, that really it would have made sense for him to completely stay away from us. But yet he was a friend to us. And we see how that they referred to him in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Matthew 11:19, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, that wisdom is justified of her children." That it's kind of what happened, that when John came, that he didn't eat or drink, and they said, oh, he has a devil, he's demon-possessed. But then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they still didn't accept him. They found another excuse, and they called him a friend of publicans and sinners, that it would be a mark of shame. But really, we realize in anything, it served as a badge of honor, that he was a friend of sinners, a friend that they needed, that He had compassion on them, that He sought to help them. And we see that pattern throughout His life, throughout His ministry. We think of the woman at the well, if you turn with me to John chapter 4, how she was a woman in need, that she was not a moral woman by any persuasion, and that's why we see that she came at the sixth hour of the day, which would be noon, which would be the hottest part of the day, and all the other women would come in the early part of the day, and it was because she knew that they would speak evil of her. She wanted to avoid them, but the Lord knew that she would be there, and he was ready for her, and He begins to speak to her, and she was surprised that He even would say anything to her. Sir, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? This is verse 9 of John chapter 4. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And we see that he shares with her the truth of this thought of this living water, and he confronts her with her sin, that she does not have a husband, that the man that she now was with was not her husband. But he shared himself with her. He showed who he was to her. And we see that when the disciples came, it says, verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? That we realize that they were thought, well, what's he doing with this woman? This is he probably shouldn't be with her, but we realize that he knew her need. He wanted to help her. He wanted to minister to her, because he knew that unless something happened to her life, something changed, that she'd have a life of misery in this life, and then when she passed from eternity, that she would have a life of torment. And so he shared with her who he was, that he was the Messiah, and she believed on him, that she left her water pot and went into the city and told everyone else, well, the Christ is here, that he has come. And we think of that with those that followed him. We think of Mary Magdalene, that she was a woman out of whom the Lord cast seven devils, that she would have been just a woman that would have been probably of poor morals and everything else, and just a wild woman in many ways, but yet he showed love, that he cast the devils out of her, and she followed him. We think of Zacchaeus, this man that was a publican, that the Lord said, come down, I want to abide at your house today, and he went with him, and we see that if you turn with me to Luke chapter 19. That Zacchaeus wanted to see him. We know the story, that he went up in the tree and the Lord called him to come down, and he was glad that the Lord would receive him and come to his house. And it says, verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That he went out of his way, he met with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus received eternal salvation through Christ. We think also, even at the end of his life, before his death and resurrection, with the thief on the cross, this one who had reviled him for a time, but then we see that he had a change of mind. This is in Luke chapter 23. That after all that would happen, that why the Lord would even have time to speak to him. But it says, Luke 23:39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so we see that the Lord was a friend to sinners, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saw their need. He saw the value of their soul. He saw the heartache that they felt. And He knew the consequences of their sin. And He wanted to set them free. He wanted to see them have their sins forgiven. He cared for them. He made time for them. And He went out of His way to be a friend to them so that they could be brought to salvation. And we understand that even once a person is saved, that the Lord desires to have a closeness with us as His people. He wants us to abide with Him and He with us. We think of it, speaks of in Revelation, of how He stands at the door and knock, and if any man opens, he will sup with him and he with me. He wants to have that closeness. Wants to be acquainted with our struggles. He wants to be there to help us through them. And really we understand that He desires to have a relationship with every person on this earth that will continue not just through this life but through eternity. That we read in John chapter 14 how He spoke to His disciples, In my Father's house are many mansions. This is John 14 verse 2. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's the thought, that he wants to have us with Him for eternity. It says in John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That He wants us to be with Him throughout eternity. And so we recognize very clearly that He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a friend to the sinner. But we also, as we rejoice in this fact, we recognize that God's plan for us is to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we are to be like Him, that we are to see what He does, how He acts, how He conducts Himself to mankind, and we are to follow His pattern, follow His example, follow in His footsteps. And so as we see Jesus being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a friend to sinners, that it is something that it should challenge us, it should call us to love as He loved and to live as He lived and become a friend to sinners as well. And we recognize what the Word of God says, that we're not to have friendship with the world. It says in James 4, verse 4, that friendship with the world is enmity against God. And we understand that we are not to be friends to the world in the sense of its way of thinking, of its priorities, of its values, that we are to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But we realize as well that while we are in the world and not of the world, that we are part of God's great rescue mission to deliver people from this present evil world through God's gospel, through salvation, so that they can be delivered from all of that. That we want to, just as we have been saved, as we have trusted in Christ, that we should want to share that with those around us. And it is something that we want to realize how important it is that for us to seek the lost, that we need to become a friend to the lost as well. And really, when you think of it, throughout the years, there's been many different programs and many different courses a person can take on soul winning and door knocking and what to say at what time and how to say it. And sometimes it's just a thought, well, if we have the right program, well, then that'll what is going to make people get saved. But so often we see that a program is run with little results. We try a different program, and it doesn't make as really that much of a difference. And I think part of the problem that we see is so often it can be so hit and run that we want to just kind of drop the gospel in someone's lap and hope that they'll receive it and not really invest the time that's needed. Because in this day and age, there is much that has to be taught before a person really has to receive the gospel. Understanding that they're a sinner, understanding who God is, understanding who Jesus is, that there is not that knowledge as there once was. And it is something that we realize that throughout Christendom that sometimes outreach and things becomes a numbers game where we just, all we're interested in the numbers and not in the person. And we want to realize that we have to kind of change our mindset, that it isn't something where we just simply think, well, I'm going to share with them the gospel and if they don't respond, well, my hands are clean, I don't have to do anything more. But that we realize, well, this person needs a friend, needs someone that they know cares about them, that has compassion for them. And unless people see that in us, then it's not going to, what we do is not going to make a difference as it should. That is what made such a difference with the Lord Jesus, is people knew that He cared for them. People knew that He had compassion on them. And that's what the Lord wants us to have as too, is that same thought, that we realize that if we can show ourselves friendly to someone, if we can share Christ with them with a heart full of love and compassion toward them, that we can make an eternal difference in their life. And with all the things that we value and focus on in this world, things that we pursue, we realize that almost all of it is going to pass away one day. And there is much that we invest in for the future, but yet we realize that the elements shall burn with a fervent heat when the Lord returns. But it's something we want to recognize, that the only thing in this earth that does last for eternity is the souls of men. That the people that are around us, that they are going to live for eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And we can invest in the things of this world, but I think the Lord really wants us to invest our lives in people. That we build a relationship with them, that they would know that we care, that we seek friendships, not simply for what we get out of it, for what we can put into it. That we realize that this person is in a desperate situation. If someone doesn't try to help them, it'll continue. They'll have a life of misery on this side of death and a life of torment on the other side. And so we realize that we must become a friend to the lost. And it's the thought of it that we have, that the relationships that we form here on earth with people, that it is the thought that we want to establish essentially eternal friendships, where even though we might pass from this life, we be separated by death, that it will only be an interlude from when we can reunite together in heaven. And that's what we're pursuing with people, that we want to reach them so that we can have a relationship with them that will endure throughout eternity, where we can, each day, as if someone we might spend many, many years being a friend to them before they finally trust Christ as Savior, and then we'll have many years with them of trying to disciple them, trying to help them in their walk with the Lord. And even though we might pass away, that then it's just that thought that we can, that fellowship might be broken here on earth, but that it might be restored again in heaven. That is what we should desire to have. And so we want to think, well, if I am to be a friend to someone, what is the marks of a true friend? How can I be a friend that they need? Because we understand that many people in this world today have people who they call their friends, but usually they're, if they really take stock, that they aren't really their friends, because they encourage them to do what's wrong, that they lead them, they're led astray together, And we want to distinguish ourselves from that, that we were not there just to have a good time, that we care about that person very much. And so we see Proverbs 17, verse 17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And so if we are to be a friend to the lost, that we need to learn to love at all times. That we understand in marriage that it is for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, that our love is to remain constant. And that's the whole thought of love. If love fluctuates, if it is withdrawn when someone mistreats us, then it's not really the love of God. That we realize that all the times in our own lives that when we fail the Lord, yet He still loves us, He's still merciful to us, that we want to pattern ourselves after that. And sometimes we find that we try to be a friend to a neighbor that's not saved, and sometimes we try to share the gospel with them and they're very rude to us, but yet we still need to love them. We still need to be concerned for their souls, and that sometimes we simply need to endure. And that's the thought that sometimes we have. I know with different people I know that are married to someone that's not saved, that even though the person is not nice to them in any way, that they stay with them because they trust that as they're faithful, as they show love, that the Lord can bring that person around. And it is such a blessing to see that when that does happen, that as a person is faithful in their love, that the Lord can bring that change in a person's heart. And we see that in terms of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." And there's that thought that if we learn to be a friend that loves at all times, that so often that a person will have friends that when everything's going good, that they have plenty of friends. When the money's pouring in, they have many companions, but as soon as the money dries up, as soon as things go bad, then those friends desert them. But if they see us, that we are a friend to them, that we don't draw them off into things that are wicked, but we love them and we seek to minister to them, that it can make a difference in their lives. See also Proverbs 27, verse 6. It says, Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." That we realize that we, in being a friend, if someone's doing something that's to their own harm, that it is, as a friend, that we need to try to warn them, to try to help them so that they would not follow down in that path. And so often that's what people will find, that they can have many friends that will be good to them, but then they're kind of giving them what they want, but they don't give them what they need. And sometimes we realize that that's, as a friend, that we, it may not be easy, but we have to warn, we have to be a help to someone. It says in Psalm 141, verse 5, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." And that's sometimes that we try to help some, we try to give them advice, and they may not take it the right way and be angry with us to begin with. But then if they realize, it may be a couple years down the road that they realize, boy, what that person had to say, that was what I needed. If I would have listened, I would have not been in this mess. That person was a true friend, and I should have heeded what they had to say. That can make a real difference in someone's life. It can when they come to the end of themselves, they can look around and they see, well, all these other fake friends that I had have forsaken me, but I know this one back here that truly cared enough to tell me the truth even when I didn't want to hear it. And then we see also Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." That people see us in that way, that we are a friend that would challenge them to improve themselves, to become more of what they ought to be. That we realize that a true friend does not draw a person away from the Lord, draws them towards Him. It does not try to pull his friend down, but tries to push him up to help him on his way. That is the thought, that if we are a friend, that we look to do that, that we can minister to them, that we can be a help to them in so many different ways. And then we see finally in John 15, verse 12, John 15 and verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And it is the thought that just as Christ laid down his life for us, that we would lay down our life for one another, that we would give of ourselves, we would spend and be spent, as Paul spoke of, that we would take time and make time for those that are in need, that we would see that even though we can be careful and troubled with many things, when we realize that this person is without Christ, that they need a friend, they need someone that will share with them the truth, that will truly care for them, that we would be concerned for them in that way, and that we would be willing to take of our time to help them. And that's the thought, that we need to see souls as precious, see them in the state that they're in, and even though they may be in a real mess, we realize, well, unless there's someone that befriends them, someone that shows mercy to them, someone that's compassionate to them, they may never get out of the situation they're in. That I need to, as a Christian, I need to try to reach out to them. I need to let my light shine before them. And I need to invest in their lives. That when we choose to be a friend to someone, we realize that it's a commitment, that it continues through salvation, it continues through their life, and that is the thought that we have, that we look at a person and we see their worth as Christ sees them, and we value them. It is something, as I spent time at the funeral for Pastor Ironside and heard some of the testimonies of different people in the town and other things, that it was something with him, that he was a man that he was not pushy or any way like that, but people recognized him as someone who would be a true friend, that he had some neighbors who he'd known for years that he cared about, that he cried over because he'd shared the gospel with them, and they knew that they hadn't trusted in Christ as Savior, that they were hard, but it was something that all of them knew, that he loved them, that he cared for them. And it was a remarkable thing to see after the funeral. Even some of Pastor Ironside's family, they knew his one neighbor that had been so hard, that they'd been talking with him and he was crying. And they just, this man that was so tough that they never saw cry before, that he was affected. And it was because of the love that was shown unto him that, and with, I know with Pastor Ironside, that it was his thought that he made friendships and he hoped that they would be for eternity. And that is what we want to pursue as well, that we make a friendship that lasts for eternity with people, that we show them that we care for them, that we minister to them, that they would know that we love them, that we are a friend to them, even when their lives are a mess. And that in time that the Lord can work in their hearts through us, that they can come to Christ, that they can be saved, that their lives can be changed, and that that even though we may be separated by death, that it's only just an interlude in the fellowship that we can have together in eternity. So may the Lord help us that we would learn this, that we would be a friend to the sinner just as Christ was, that we might bring in these precious souls into the fold. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your great example to us, Lord. Thank you for being a friend to us, Lord, when we didn't deserve it. Just pray you would help us, Lord, to seek to show ourselves friendly to those in need, that we would be a true friend to them, not like the friends that they may have of the world that are only interested in what they can get out of them, Lord. Pray that you would help us to invest in lives around us. And even though, Lord, we know it may take many years, Lord, before we see a change, we realize that it will be time well spent and that it will not be in vain. Lord, we just pray you would bless us this morning and help us that we would be faithful witnesses to you, to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand once more and we'll turn to hymn number 370 and we'll sing Throw Out the Lifeline, hymn 370.